Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, we're going to see that the devil indeed wants to defeat us. The devil wants to defeat you. And in this matter, Satan is too frequently successful. What would you think about a soldier on guard duty who fell asleep constantly? One of my nephews was in the Air Force and stationed at Rome, New York. And he was one of just a handful of men that was cleared to stand guard duty on the SAC, or Strategic Air Command, planes that had been prepared, manned with live missiles, and ready to take off at literally a moment's notice. And there is a stretch of road that goes all around the base that tourists can drive on to see from outside the fence the base. However, there's a certain section of road that is marked with no stopping signs. And that's the section that is near the SAC airplanes. And my nephew advised to anyone driving on that road, don't stop where the signs say no stopping, or you may be looking at the ground from 6 inches up to your eyeballs, because they were very diligent about not allowing people to stop at that location. And a guard who fell asleep wouldn't last too long. Now, in the Christian life, we are all soldiers. And we all draw guard duty. And too many times, we are falling asleep. Now, if you'll open your Bibles, if you have not yet, if you'll open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Father in heaven, our desire is that we would have the direction and blessing of the Holy Spirit as we look at this passage of Scripture. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it says in verse 8 that we are to be sober. Well, now, that word, of course, carries with it that we're to be free of intoxicants. We're not to be drunk. But that's not the only emphasis of that word. That may be the common understanding, because usually the word sober is used in reference to somebody not being drunk. But we are also, what's included in that word is that we are to be free from wrong influence. Certainly alcohol would be a wrong influence. But we are to be free from wrong influences, not just of alcohol. We are to not be under wrong control. And in this case, it's related to watchfulness. We are to be under the control of diligence, and that indeed is what we're told about here. In verse 8 it says, be sober, be vigilant, awake, alert. Somebody who's vigilant doesn't fall asleep. Right. They're not lulled into spiritual sleep. Now you see, you can be lulled into spiritual sleep while you're sitting in church.
Yes, sir.
While you're going through all a of the good and right motions of Christian life, Christian worship, you can be lulled into spiritual sleep while you're teaching a Sunday school class, while you're holding an office in the church, while you're performing whatever sort of task it may be that you have. Because if we are not under the control of the Holy Spirit, then whose control are we under? It would at least be self. It may be another person. But we're not to be caught off guard. We're to be vigilant. A guard on duty near those SAC airplanes, they had to be vigilant. They could not allow themselves to be lulled into distraction. And that's too many times what happens to us as Christians. We allow ourselves to get distracted. Now listen, distraction, I'm not really concerned that anyone here tonight would be distracted by the casino down at Salamanca. Don't expect that of any of you that are here tonight. But there are some other things that could distract us from our dedication, our devotion to the Lord. And those are the things we must be careful of. So we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're to be free from wrong influences. We're to be watchful. And then it says, our adversary. Now, if something is an adversary, it is an opponent of us. Okay, your adversary. Now, school's going to be starting up before long in the football season, right? And in the football season, of course, each school has the other school that's their key rivalry, okay? They are their adversary. They are looking to take them down. They are looking to keep them from winning. Well, we have an adversary. And the Bible tells us who that adversary is. And you know that adversary is none other than Satan, the devil himself. Now, here we are told, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion. Satan is described in different ways, and this is one of the key ways that he is described. Perhaps the most familiar way is that of a serpent. Now, a serpent speaks about the subtlety of Satan. Okay, in Genesis chapter 3, we're told that we're to be on guard and vigilant, if you please, because our adversary, because I'm obviously babbling around trying to remember it. In chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so when Satan is described as a serpent, it's because he is subtle. Here, however, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he is called a lion. And a lion describes Satan's fierceness and his strength. And he is called a roaring lion. He is said to walk about, seeking whom he may devour. Walking about. Now, do you get the picture of a lion, you know, so quietly, you know, walking about in a very stealthy manner? And when he sees his prey, the roar is to, in an instant, by fear and unexpectedness, freeze, if you please, whatever it is that the lion is stalking. And he walketh about. Now, he's not roaring until he's ready to prance. To what do you call
it? Pounce.
What?
Pounce.
Pounce, thank you. I knew I didn't know the right word. Until he's ready to launch into action. Keep your place here in 1 Peter 5. Turn to the Old Testament book of Job, back before the Psalms. The Old Testament book of Job. We want to go to the first chapter. Job chapter 1. Just remember this, that the devil won't quit. If he can't get you one way, he'll get you another way. If he can't get you as a serpent very subtly, then he'll come around as a lion, and when you least expect it, you'll hear him roar. That may be just all of the horrible distraction that he brings into your life, the noise of distraction and clamoring. But look here at Job chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from, what's that next word? Walking up and down in it. Look at chapter 2, where we find a repeat of this particular instance where God and Satan have an interchange. In chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And just that's just what he was doing in the day of Job. Right. And then God challenged Satan with his faithful man, Job. Now listen to me. I want you to listen to me. What happens if Satan is walking through the earth and he has an interaction with God? And what happens if God says, have you considered my servant?
Come on.
And gives your name?
Come on.
You say, well, I'm in no way in the condition that Job is. Yeah, that's the scary part.
Yes, sir.
Because Satan's still walking about seeking whom he may devour.
That's good.
And he doesn't only go after Job's.
That's right.
He goes after whoever he can find. And he is the accuser of the brethren. That's another one of the terms for Satan, as the accuser of the brethren. And from that verse alone, accuser of the brethren, and this encounter with Job, we are safe in assuming that this is not the only time in Job that Satan went before God. And so, what happens if God says, have you considered my servant, and then speaks your name? Now we know in chapter 1, Job lost his family. And in chapter 2, it came on Job himself. Remember the description of him sitting in an ash heap and scraping the boils off of his flesh? In other words, there was problems with his family and there was problems with his health.
Right.
Now let me just stop right here. Don't assume that every illness and physical problem is an attack by Satan in this kind of encounter. Don't assume that every physical problem is because you have had a specific sin in your life. Because the devil would love to confuse us with that kind of thinking. But neither should we assume that it couldn't be that.
Come on.
And it is altogether in order to go before God and ask God, is this problem, is this situation, is this condition because of a sin in my life? And then wait for God to give you an answer.
Come on.
And if he doesn't say yes to you and bring to your heart or mind something that is wrong, then you are safe in assuming that it's not because of a particular sin in your life. But don't ask him that unless you're willing to take action on what he might reveal to you.
That's right.
Because God does not play around with these kind of things. He's very much in earnest. Or you might be looking at the road 6 inches from your eyeballs. Not because of a guard at the SAT command, but because of God answering you and you not responding, and he just taking you down. We have an old, common old saying, and that is sometimes we won't look up until we, you know, can't go down any further. Well, there's some reason for that kind of proverbial statement. And so we are to be in earnest about this matter. Be sober. Be vigilant. We have an adversary, and he is seeking whom he may devour. And the devil is fat with the defeat of believers. So don't feed him anymore.
Yes.
Get off of his food list. Okay? Now verse 9 and 10, back in 1 Peter. Back in 1 Peter, verse 9 and 10 is evidence that as Christians we do not have to be defeated. He tells us, after describing Satan who wants to do us wrong, he says in verse 9, whom, that would be Satan, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is a universal thing. This is not something that's just limited to a certain few people or a certain group. It's any of his children. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That's complete. Mature. Establish you. Strengthen and settle you. That is what can happen. What a pathetic commentary on the church. And I don't mean just this local church. I mean on the church, meaning the body of Christ, as it were, nationwide, worldwide, but I'm especially applying it to nationwide. What a sad commentary that in most any congregation you can find somebody who, when you talk about the Christian life and Christian living, someone who will say, oh, well, you know I'm not doing what I ought to do, and I know that I ought to, you know, and they might name something they ought to stop doing or something they ought to start doing, and they'll say, well, you know, I know I'm backslidden right now. But someday I'll get right. Backsliding is no laughing matter.
No, sir.
It may be only a nervous chuckle that causes some people in admitting that they're backslidden, that they are. But it's just as dangerous as an audible chuckle for a person to, in their mind, think to themselves, themselves, I know I'm not where I ought to be, and I know I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. And whether they think of themselves in that term of backsliding, just the mere fact that they would acknowledge that they are not where they ought to be, and just not pay any attention to it. Just fluff it off. That's not good. And this message is intended to deal with the fact that there are little things that we need to pay attention to. Now, this message will not be completed tonight.
Yeah.
Okay? Because after a while, you'd all get up and just leave. It could be that long. And I wouldn't blame you. But little things do matter.
Yes, sir.
A hardware store had advertised for a part-time clerk. And a young man who was needing a job applied. And after the interview, he was told by the owner of the store that he would get the job. So when he reported for work the next day, he was taken down into the basement of the store. And there in the basement were some large cases of nuts, large cases of bolts, large cases of all different kinds of supplies that they would sell. Nails, screws, and some hardware items. And his job was to sort them and into little boxes. Take all of one size nut and find them and put them in this box. And then other, you know, and just sort them all out. And he was very disappointed because he had pictured himself working behind the counter, an attractive counter, and, you know, pleasant surroundings, interacting with customers as they came in, sharing a laugh with a co-worker when there weren't any customers there. And here he was in the basement, and maybe even more than a basement, it was a cellar. It was not a pleasant place, but he diligently worked. He thought about quitting more than once. And when the day finally ended, he thought about not returning the next day because he still had sorting to do. But he came back the next morning. He was taken down in the basement. And somehow he made it through the second day. And finally, the unpleasant task was completed. And he told the manager that he had finished the work. And the manager replied, "Good, you passed the test." "Passed the test? What do you mean?" And he said, "Oh, we always test a new employee before we put them behind the counter. We have them all come down here and sort the nuts and bolts and screws. If a worker can't be trusted with a little job, we don't think he can be trusted with a bigger one behind the counter." Mm-hmm. Think about that. Think about that. Sounds familiar, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Too often people in the local church will feel envious. "How come I never get elected as an officer? How come I'm not asked to be a teacher? How come I'm not the one that's called on and then whatever it is they'd like to do?" He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. The little things in life do count. Reporters gathered around a man who had just finished walking from coast to coast. Quite an accomplishment. We've read about such individuals in the newspaper. So the reporters were all gathered around him, and one reporter anxiously asked the question, "What was your greatest obstacle And most expected the hiker to say the mountains, the heat, the lack of water or food. But without hesitation, he said, the greatest single obstacle was the sand in my shoes. The constant, reoccurring little things. Little things lead to great discoveries. Cyrus said, every hair has its own shadow. Wow. When I found that in preparation of this message, yeah, think about it, it would. But we tend to think of it as a head of hair, okay, as compared to the individual hair. You go into a barber, and if he's got a sick sense of humor, you say, I'm here for a haircut. Oh, which hair do you want me to cut? We think of a whole head of hair. Emerson asserted that the creation of 1,000 trees or a forest is in one acorn. Mm-hmm. Sir Isaac Newton claimed that his study of a small soap bubble led to his important optical discovery. And a Captain Brown claimed that the web of a small spider inspired his plans for the first suspension bridge. And we think little things don't matter. Just 2 cc's of Salk vaccine can prevent polio. And a ball of uranium the size of a mothball can destroy a city. It was a cable only 25 inches long as the fuse that was used to ignite the first hydrogen bomb, which blew into oblivion an entire island. Little things matter. So it's not just a simple little thing. Well, I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't pray as much as I wanted to today. Well, I didn't make it to church whenever, you know. It won't matter. It's just one service. Just one service. But you see, that kind of an attitude toward matters. And there are times where a person maybe cannot make it because of illness, because of some other involvement or commitment, maybe a delay that you can't plan on. You go to the doctor and you had a 4 o'clock appointment, but you didn't get in until 5:15. And then it took longer than usual, and so you didn't make it to prayer meeting. These kind of things happen. The problem isn't with the exception. The problem is when the exception becomes the normal. And we even can end up looking for exceptions. That's a dangerous thing, a dangerous position to be in. As a young man, Daniel Webster was helping his father build a fence on a rocky New Hampshire farm. And he did not expect to go to college because of how finances were, and his father was about ready for retirement. But as they worked, his father said, "Son, your mother and I have talked about it, and we have decided we're going to wear old clothing for another year. And we're going to put a mortgage on the farm because I was denied an education myself, and we want to see at least one of our children get that education and go to college." This was a wise father. One who realized as a laborer the value of education rightly used. And rather than embitter his son about what he wanted to be, but never was able to become, they made some sacrifices. And you know, when the course of life went on, and after the number of years it took for Daniel Webster to get his education, what were actually little sacrifices gained great significance and results. Little things can lead to bigger sins. And that's the thing we have to remember. And with that, we'll stop for tonight and we'll take up there next Wednesday night. All right, now we're going to take some prayer requests. I want to remind you that the missionaries we ask you to pray for this week would be the Seatmans. That would be Roy and Melanie Seatman in Mexico. And then I got an email from Ashley Ford telling us that her friend Paul had a checkup on his hands and things are looking good.
Amen.
And he'll be starting occupational therapy by the end of the month. And then she told us about one of the young men that she works with for the Potter County Special Olympics. He had obstructed bowel surgery. Ashley, do you have an update since this Monday one?
I do. He lost his colon and they had to give him a colostomy bag. He has not come out of the anesthesia, he's in a coma. They went in because he had a lot of mucus and phlegm within his esophagus, which they were afraid that he was going to get pneumonia, so they went in to drain it all out yesterday. He woke up, he didn't wake up, but this morning they noticed his neck was extremely swollen, his chest was really tight, and they had punctured a lung during yesterday's surgery. So now they're dealing with that and doing another CAT scan. So, things don't look good, and the father is extremely...
Right, I'll share that part. the father is Jim, okay? Jim Ayers. And the special ed boy is Spencer Ayers. And Jim Ayers has buried a wife and daughter both in the past 2 years. And now having trouble with his son Spencer, whom, is it fair for me to say, Ashley, Jim's life would center around Spencer?
He is at his bedside saying, "My buddy, my buddy."
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. At young Spencer's bedside saying, "My buddy, my buddy." So you be in prayer, if you would, for them. All right, let's take other requests. In the back there first, I saw the hand.
I want to pray for my grandpa to get better because he has dementia.
And what's grandpa's last name?
Farwell.
Okay, dementia. All right, and then over here, Autumn. Okay, Autumn says, thanks the Lord for safe travel that they had recently. Caleb?
Hey, Mom, she is going for surgery.
He has surgery in September.
Okay, Caleb has surgery in September. So we'll have to get more diligent on that when, as September approaches, you let us know the actual date then. All right, Luke?
Pray for my dad.
He has surgery on August 31st.
Okay, Dale has surgery August 31st. Is that with the pain device?
Yeah.
Will that be actually inserted?
4 days and then
okay. All right. So the surgery is for the temporary use. It'll become permanent if it works. Okay, and that's a device that will be able to emit impulses that will help to control the pain. Okay, Trevor.
Just pray for Eddie.
For Eddie? Okay, pray for his friend Eddie. That would be Eddie Munt. Okay, I realize all of you know who Eddie is, but I'm thinking back when I first heard the request, and now Ashley's here, and she doesn't know who Eddie is, and that's a family that used to attend here. All right, other requests, Jody.
Just pray for Ray. We've become aware of the foot issue she's having, and at the worst, they could be doing knee surgery. We're hoping for the best if she just needs insoles to correct the problem.
Okay, an issue with her feet. And the worst case scenario is she would need surgery. Hopefully, special shoes will deal with it. Is that a fair way to explain it? Okay, very good. Ashley?
I have another EEG tomorrow morning at 8:30.
EEG?
Yeah.
All right, Ashley has an EEG. And that has to do with a seizure condition that she has. It has been very disabling at times. And so she has that EEG tomorrow. All right, very good. Amy. Amy has an unspoken request. All right. Ruthann, were you? Okay, I thought I saw your mouth open like you were going to start. Yes, Sharon.
For the boys and for our spouse, to prepare for Dave getting out in September.
Okay. All right. They ask prayer for their sons, and David gets out of jail in September. And they ask prayer for themselves in dealing with that. Okay. Any others? Tanya?
My mom has surgery on the 28th with her carotid arteries. And they're a little bit worried because she's been having so many blood clots and whatnot and spots on her arms and whatnot with her blood thinner. So that and just my siblings.
Okay, Tanya asked prayer for her siblings and for her mother who's having surgery on carotid arteries and has a blood clot condition as well. Okay, all right, let's go to prayer and take these and other matters before the